You're listening to ESL Podcast's English Cafe, Episode 58. This is ESL Podcast's English Cafe, number 58. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. On today's cafe, we're going to talk about table manners in the United States, how people eat their food. We're also going to talk about the capital of the U.S., Washington, D.C., and, as always, we'll answer a few questions. Let's get started. If you haven't visited our website recently at eslpod.com, be sure to do that. We have some interesting and exciting new features on our website. You can also get the learning guide for this episode, which contains all of the vocabulary, definitions, a culture note, and the complete transcript of this podcast. In today's learning guide, we talk about something that's very popular among children and is something that most adults know about, something called Pig Latin. It's a way of speaking English that I think you'll be interested in finding out about. That's in today's learning guide. Our first topic today is going to be about what we would call table manners, M-A-N-N-E-R-S, in the United States. And manners are the way that you behave, the way you act. If we say someone has good manners, we mean they're polite, they do things according to the accepted rules of behavior. Table manners refers to how you are supposed to act when you are sitting at a table, eating your dinner or your meal. I thought I would go through a list that I found somewhere on the web about American table manners and talk a little bit about these customs we have. Many of them, maybe most of them, will be the same in other countries, but some of them perhaps are different. So if you are going to be having a meal with an American family, here are some things you can expect. The first thing is that many American families, as we've talked about before on the podcast, are very religious. Because of that reason, they often say a prayer before they start their meal. The prayer is usually called Grace, G-R-A-C-E. So we say that people say grace. To say grace means to say a prayer, usually thanking God for the gifts of the food that you are about to eat. This is a common custom in many families, even sometimes when they eat in public in a restaurant. But often at home for a family meal, we say grace. And that's a common custom in many families. Some other customs you can expect at an American dinner table: not putting your elbows on the table. It's considered rude to put your elbows on the table. Of course, some people still do it. I would say it's fairly common, but to be more polite, you don't put your elbows on the table. You can put your arms on the table, what we would call your forearm, F-O-R-E-A-R-M. Your forearm is the part of your arm between your hand and your elbow. So no elbows on the table. We usually put the napkin on our lap. The napkin, N-A-P-K-I-N, is that piece of towel or a piece of cloth that you use to wipe your face. It's also something you put on your lap. Your lap, L-A-P, is your legs, the top of your legs, when you are sitting. At Christmas time, it's a common custom for children to go see Santa Claus, and they sit on his lap. They sit on his on the top of his legs as he is sitting down. Except me, I don't usually sit on Santa's lap anymore. Last year, I think I did, but not in the future. Americans also think it is impolite to slurp your food. For example, if you are drinking a cup of coffee or you are eating soup, it's not considered polite to slurp it. To slurp, S-L-U-R-P, is easiest to define by doing it for you so you can hear what it sounds like. That is slurping. And it's considered rude to do that, to make a noise when you are eating your soup or drinking something out of a cup or glass. It's, however, acceptable now to slurp your noodles when you are eating. This is true for Italian food. If you are eating spaghetti, people will often slurp up the rest of the noodle that doesn't go in their mouth. They want to get it in their mouth. This is also true for many kinds of Asian cooking. This may be different in other countries, but it's okay to do that. But you, again, try not to make any noise. It is also common that if you are sitting at a table or in a restaurant with friends, that you wait until everyone has their food before you start eating. So if you're in a restaurant and the waiter brings food to two people, and two people don't have food, the two people that do have food wait until the other two people get their food. Sometimes you will say to someone who has their food, "Don't wait for me, go ahead and eat," especially if it's something hot. But that's the custom, is to wait till everyone has their food or everyone has gotten the food from the table if you are eating at home. It's also considered rude to burp at the dinner table. To burp is, again, one of those things that's easiest to illustrate by hearing it. The verb is B-U-R-P, burp. That's a burp. That's considered very rude, impolite. If you do have to burp, and sometimes you do, you should say, "Excuse me," and you should cover your mouth before you burp. I'm sure you didn't think you would hear me burping when you started listening to today's podcast. It's also considered polite at the dinner table to keep your mouth closed when you are eating, not to chew, C-H-E-W, with your mouth open. To chew means to take your food in between your teeth. You move your teeth up and down so that you break down the food. You make it smaller so you can swallow it. So it's considered impolite to chew with your mouth open. You want to keep your mouth closed. There are some foods in the U.S. that you can eat with your hands. Usually you eat with a fork, spoon, and a knife. Or if you're in a Asian restaurant or in an Asian house, Asian American house, with your chopsticks. But there are some foods you can eat with your hand. Pizza is something you can pick up with your hand and eat. Fried chicken. Not any kind of chicken, but chicken that is fried. That is usually a piece of chicken with some flour on it that is put into oil, very hot oil, and fried. You can eat fried chicken with your hands. You can eat bread with your hands. You can also eat corn when it is on the cob. Corn on the cob, C-O-B, is corn that is still on the stick. And it's very popular in the summertime for people to eat corn on the cob using their hands. Whole pieces of fruit, like an apple or a banana, of course, you can also eat with your hands. At the end of the meal, you want to thank the person, if you are in someone's house, who cooked the meal. The nicest thing to say would be, thank you for the wonderful meal. Thank you for the wonderful meal. It was delicious. Delicious, D-E-L-I-C-I-O-U-S, means it tasted very good. It was very good tasting. If you come to my house, you would say, thank you for the terrible or horrible meal. It was really bad, because that would be, of course, the truth. I don't cook very well. Our second topic today is the city of Washington, D.C. We often talk about different states and cities in the United States and give you some basic information about them. And today we're going to talk about the capital of the United States, Washington, D.C. Well, the first thing to know about Washington, D.C. is what the D and C stand for. They stand for, or mean, the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia. The word Columbia comes from the name of the person who is thought to have come first from Europe to the new continent of America, Christopher Columbus. So Columbia is a name that comes from Christopher Columbus. So the District of Columbia is what D.C. stands for. And this was a name that was given by the Constitution of the United States to this capital city. The capital city is not in any state. It's its own, what we call, federal district or national district. This is true in other countries. Some other countries have the capital is separate from the provinces or states. It's its own separate legal unit. And that is the case in the United States. Washington was our first president, and the capital was named after our first president. Now, it's confusing because we also have a state called Washington. Washington State is located on the border of Canada in the northwest part of our country. So when people are talking about Washington, they sometimes refer to Washington, D.C., and then Washington State. Usually from the context of the conversation, you know if someone says Washington, if they mean Washington State, the state of Washington, or Washington, D.C. Sometimes we just call Washington, D.C., D.C. So you will hear both of those terms. Washington, D.C. is its own city, and technically it is run by the Congress of the United States. The federal Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Senate have authority in the District of Columbia. However, in the early 1970s, the Congress decided to give Washington, D.C. its own leader, its own mayor. A mayor, M-A-Y-O-R, is the leader of a city. And now Washington has a group of elected representatives and a mayor. However, the people who live in Washington, D.C., there are about 500,000 people there now, do not get to send a representative to Congress. They do not have a senator who votes for them. They have a representative, but that representative cannot vote in Congress. They can, however, vote for the President of the United States. Beginning in 1961, after the Constitution was changed, there is now a law that says that you can vote for the president if you live in Washington, D.C., but you do not have a representative. So that is the legal basis of Washington, D.C. For most people, the interesting thing about Washington, D.C., what we think about, is the famous buildings that are there. There are the Capitol building, which is where the Congress is, the White House, which is where the president lives, and the headquarters or home of the Supreme Court, which is the top legal authority in terms of our judicial system. Judicial, J-U-D-I-C-I-A-L, means the courts, the law courts. So all of the three parts of the U.S. national government are in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is also famous for two other things, two other types of buildings. One is memorials. These aren't exactly buildings, but a memorial, M-E-M-O-R-I-A-L, is a statue or a small building that is built to remember someone. The most famous memorial is what we call the Washington Monument. And the Washington Monument is very famous. It's a tall, it looks like a tall stick, but it is a monument to Washington. Doesn't look like him, however. We also have a memorial or monument to President Lincoln, who was president during the U.S. Civil War in the 19th century. The Jefferson Memorial. Again, Jefferson was a president, our third president. There are also memorials to those people who have died in wars. The most famous of these is the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. A veteran, V-E-T-E-R-A-N, is someone who has fought in a war. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial is also very well known. The other type of building that is famous in Washington, D.C. are the museums. And as we talked about before on an earlier cafe, we have a federal or national set of museums that are called the Smithsonian Museums. The Smithsonian Museums are a collection of museums, art museums, history museums. There's a museum for air and space. There is a museum for American Indians. There are museums for lots of different groups and types of art. And so that is also something that most people, when they go to Washington, will want to visit. That's a little bit about Washington, D.C. And now, here's a little bit about your questions. Our first question comes from Narong, N-A-R-O-N-G, in Thailand. Narong wants to know the meaning of the expression easygoing. When we say he is easy, E-A-S-Y, going, G-O-I-N-G, all one word, what do we mean? We mean that he is relaxed, that he is not excited, he's calm. It's also said of someone who doesn't get angry very easily, doesn't get upset very easily, someone who is always calm and relaxed. We'd say that person is easygoing. Another expression Narong wants to know about is down to earth. Down, D-O-W-N, to earth. When we describe someone as down to earth, we mean that they are humble. They do not think they are themselves very important. They are easy to talk to. The opposite of someone who is down to earth would be someone who is full of himself or full of herself. To be full, F-U-L-L, of yourself means that you think you are better than everyone else. You think you are more important than everyone else. You think you are great. So that would be the opposite of being humble or down to earth. Fabio in Italy has a question about the expression to put someone in harm's way. To put or to place someone in harm's, H-A-R-M apostrophe S, way, means to put them in danger. To put them in a situation where they could get hurt, a dangerous situation. Fabio also wants to know the meaning of the expression to take a shot at someone. To take a shot, S-H-O-T, at someone, usually means to try to convince someone, try to get someone to agree with you, or try to talk to someone about something that you may be having a problem with. You may say, for example, I talked to my brother, but he doesn't want to come to the party. And you may say, well, let me take a shot at him. Let me try to convince him. The other common meaning of this expression is to hit someone, to punch somebody. This is different than the expression to take a shot at something. Someone may say, let me take a shot at writing this story. There, the expression means to attempt or to try. I'm going to take a shot at it means I'm going to try it. I'm going to attempt it. Saeed, S-A-E-E-D, from the state of Texas in the U.S., he wants to know the meaning of the noun inquiry, I-N-Q-U-I-R-Y. An inquiry, sometimes pronounced inquiry, is a investigation. The word comes from the verb to inquire, I-N-Q-U-I-R-E, which means to ask about something, to investigate something. I'm going to inquire where my friend is. I'm going to ask about where my friend is. The noun inquiry is usually an investigation by the government or by some organization or company. it has the idea of being somewhat formal when you look into a problem or something that happened. For example, when President John F. Kennedy was killed in 1963, there was a formal inquiry into who really killed him. If you would like to inquire about the meaning of some words or expressions, email us. Our email address is eslpod@eslpod.com. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.